Thanks for tuning in to the Undercut's review of the 2024 British Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. By being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com and the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's coopsf1.com, where you can put your theories to the test.
All right, so we've had the third race in the triple header, the first triple header of the season, the British Grand Prix. Obviously, one of the tracks that has lots of both high speed corners and slow speed corners and some straights. So, you know, you really want a well balanced car around this track. But a lot of the talk coming into the weekend was that McLaren should be good here. And of course, Red Bull should probably be good here. And Mercedes has obviously looked good the past couple race weekends with George winning the last one. So who knows?
It fell into his lap a little bit, didn't it, last week? But
a win's a win.
This seems to be the new normal now, that at least between McLaren, Mercedes, and Red Bull, there's, you know, legitimate competition. So the F1 script writers have learned from last year's domination that we need to mix it up a little bit. We like a little bit more action.
Yes. The F1 gods are shining down on us now. But we obviously got some news coming into the weekend. First off, Ollie Bearman will be racing at Haas for next year. I don't think they've confirmed whether Kevin will be there or not. So I guess Ollie is the only one confirmed for Haas for next season. So yeah,
good for him. Another British driver on the circuit.
Yeah.
Obviously, he came in when Carlos had his appendicitis early on in the year and scored points. Just hopped right in with literally no notice. So little bit of a Nick DeVries situation, right? Where Nick came in and scored some points. We all know how that turned out. So hopefully Ollie does a little better than that. But very happy for the kid. Looks like a nice guy. So And Haas, you know, is not the back of the pack kind of team anymore. They're mixing it up. So, you know, he has a chance to do something. So yeah, good for him.
Yeah, they've taken the opposite approach to what Gunther always did, which was like do little upgrades but big upgrades at a time, where now they're just bringing upgrades as soon as they're ready, they're bringing them out, and it seems to be working for them so far. Really cool, really good for them. And then the other big news is there was lots of rumors going around that originally it was Carlos potentially going to Alpine. And then we heard James Vowles say that they are no longer really going after Carlos Sainz and that they are now going after a return to Bottas at Williams.
Wow.
And that potentially Logan Sargeant could be taken out of the seat before the season is over.
Oh, what? Replaced with who?
I guess Kimi Antonelli would be the only option.
Anyone is better. Anyone.
Right. But yeah, James Vowles said that outright, that they would consider replacing him this season.
Logan's on a bit of borrowed time, isn't he? He's like a Latifi 2.0. So fortunately for him, he just can't get it going.
Yeah. He will need to really turn it around to a crazy degree if he has any shot of sticking around.
Yeah.
We also got some young drivers in FP1, but nothing crazy during any of the practice sessions other than Yuki beaching it at one point and getting a red flag early on at FP1, but that was it. So moving into qualifying, there was lots of rain in the FP3 session. I think everyone only drove on inters during that session. They might have gotten onto some slicks at the very end, but it was a drying track situation. We've had a few of these this season, where the rain's been coming and going as qualifying has happened. So whenever that is, it's just like whoever is on the last one to go usually has the best shot.
As usual, yeah.
But let's see. So everyone came out in the first session. They went on inters, but they realized it was already dry enough for slick tires. So everyone came in and changed. But Checo went off the track and into the gravel and beached himself in Q1. I mean, his time was technically still over the time, but everyone was about to come out on slick tire.
Yeah. He just lost it onto the runoff area, but the runoff area was way wetter than the regular track. So there was no traction there. So when he tried to turn, no shot, just kept going. And then once you're in the gravel, if you don't have the momentum, you just gonna bog down and get stuck. And then once he gets some help, he's out of qualifying completely, or no more. Yeah. No new times to be set. So. Yeah. Checo. We've given up. Like, there's no more superlatives for him. He's just not performing, right?
I think he might get sat.
Right.
I mean, it's just like...
Unless they've got bigger problems, Red Bull, unless they're just, so worried about the other teams catching them up and, they can't bring in somebody else. But who would that person necessarily be that's going to be automatically better? But,
I mean, I would think they would put Danny in only by the way that they talk about it. I would personally think they should give Yuki a shot, but they're seemingly not going to do that. It seems they want Danny in the car. So
yeah, but Checo, out in Q1, starting from effectively the back.
Yeah. And it started raining a bit when the green flag was coming back out, but I mean, it still was dry enough for slick tires. Max also went off the track during Q1, and he just was struggling. I think he did some damage on his car, and he almost didn't make it out of the session. He almost didn't get in a good enough time.
He was the driver at risk at the very end for a minute there, but he didn't get knocked out.
Yeah, I was hoping it was just going to start pouring, and then that was going to be it. He was going to be done. Both Red Bulls out in Q1 would have been...
No.
Unbelievable.
It did not happen.
No, it did not. Logan got into Q2. I think it's the second week in a row. Was it last week? He also got through to Q2. So
maybe good memory. But I mean,
looking, I guess, a little bit better with his back against
some
the wall.
Positives,
silver lining. But then the other disappointment, of course, Charles getting knocked out in Q2, and that's the second time in the last four races he has not been able to get out of Q2.
Charles is just getting outperformed and out qualified by Carlos at like every turn, he's supposed to be the main driver, and Carlos is without a seat next year, but Carlos is showing George how it's done. Carlos is showing Charles how it's done right now.
Yeah he certainly is. But then obviously the best part about qualifying was that we got three Brits for the top three spots on the grid. George obviously taking pole position at his home race with Lewis and Lando right behind him, and Max ultimately getting the other spot in the first two rows. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, they had a good onboard shot of when Max was doing his fast lap at the very end, and you could see where he lost it just a little bit, had to do some correction, and that was probably probably lost him 0.2 or so, which is, that's all it takes when you're trying to put together a fast lap. And George just pipped Lewis, and then I think Lando in the end didn't complete his final
lap.
Maybe he went off as well, or had a moment, and he was well off the pace. Three Brits, 1, 2, 3 at Silverstone. That's I don't know. They probably had some stats on when that's happened before, but that was pretty cool. And I think Albon, who's pseudo British, was 9th as well in the top 10. So, good showing by the Brits.
Absolutely. And not a Brit, but Nico Hülkenberg getting P6 to start the race. I mean, really amazing.
Yeah.
and both the Aston Martins back into Q3. I can't even remember the last time.
Yeah, where did they suddenly get their performance from? Yeah, no, we've been like crapping all over them the last few weeks. Like, let's just stop even talking about them as a top team. And
yeah,
I guess they. All right, thanks for listening in, guys. And
yeah, right.
I didn't realize You're welcome. Mike, didn't know Mike Crack was an avid subscriber. Yeah.
You can send the check to
welcome back. Well,
yeah. You know. Yeah, pretty amazing. But that's really it for qualifying. So before the race, pretty much everyone started on mediums except for Ocon and Joe on soft tires and Checo all the way in the back. What was he ended up being? P19 was his starting spot.
Yeah, he
on
went
hard tires.
He started from the pit lane, I think. Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the end.
That's right, because him and Pierre started from the pit lanes. But I don't know if Pierre ever even made it out of the pit lanes.
No, Pierre pulled in
on the formation lap.
Was it on the formation lap, or I think it might have been on the end of the formation lap. Pierre pulled in to the pits. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was retired by the start of the second lap. I didn't see when it happened, but I saw that he was already out at that point. Yeah. But at the start of the race, George had a really, really great stop. Lewis had a pretty great stop too. Neither of them were really contested into the first few corners.
Yeah. Lewis was angling himself out to the left and he cut right across, but whether he was trying to cut in front of George if he got a good start, but he ended up just cutting across right behind him, which sort of blocked off Lando and Verstappen behind.
Yeah.
But yeah, they all sort of like no contact at the front anyway. Played nice.
Yeah. Yeah, but after a couple corners, Max was able to pass Lando.
Yeah,
I'm sure Lando was super frustrated at that.
I feel I feel like Lando, like, he was a bit unlucky. He was, you know, trying to get around Hamilton.
You just froze for a second.
But he just sort of ran out of space, and then he found himself in sort of out of position on the track with nowhere to go in front of him. But Max was sort of beside him with open track in front of him. And he could just sort of blip the throttle and scoot ahead, which Lando just couldn't do. But very frustrating for Lando. Not really his fault, just sort of like how the cars all arranged themselves.
Yeah. And Charles had a great first lap. He was able to make up three spots, get back up into the points in P8. I mean, obviously not where he wants to be, but from where he started, really good start.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and Nico dropped down three spots, so a little flip-flop there. Let's see, and then lap 9, we hear that we are expecting rain in the next 10 minutes, which is like 7 or so laps. So we knew we were going to have a situation where who's going to come in first for the inters. Max was already starting to struggle in P3 and falling away from the Mercedes. And Lando was getting closer and closer to the back of Max. And Oscar had DRS behind Lando, so the two of them, I guess, were going to try and catch up to Max. And Zach Brown, who is the one that was on the Sky radio calls this weekend, was implying that racing in the rain plays into their hands. For I guess that's the one session that was in all rain, the practice session, they looked really, really good. So they were looking forward to the rain coming. And then lap 13, three laps later, Charles passed Lance and he's up into P7 now. And then Lando all of a sudden was in DRS range of Max and was in really good position to attack with Oscar right behind him too. And it's like, it looked like Lando had learned from what happened last week. He waited. He waited until he had a surefire move to get by him, and it was an easy pass into Stowe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the DRS was definitely working well for whoever was behind, and yeah, he just blew right by out the middle. No moving under braking from Max this week.
No.
So yeah, they all played well, and through Lando went.
Yeah, and then just two laps later, Oscar did the exact same thing at the exact same spot and moved up into P4.
Yeah.
Seeing Max moving backwards is just still crazy to me after seven seasons.
You just expect him. Yeah, it wasn't long ago where he could start 10th by some weird miracle and end up leading the race after like lap 13 or something.
Yeah. And still ending up winning by like 30 seconds. Yeah.
So this new version is interesting. And of course, Checo is nowhere to be seen to help him out. So,
yeah. Yeah. Not at all. And then George all of a sudden started losing time to Lewis, who got right up behind him. He was less than half a second behind him and was able to pass George and was leading the British Grand Prix.
Well, I mean, at this point, rain was falling at this point, right? It had started. So it certainly wasn't heavy enough that they were going on to, they were changing tires. They were still on slicks, but there was, you know, damp spots out there. So we know that Lewis, you know, likes the rain or can find the, get the most out of the track. You know, George, it can be, you can lose so much time in the rain if you're not committed to the corners and you can't trust the car. And I think they, as they were saying on the commentary, that being in front, you've got a bit of a disadvantage because behind, you can just follow along behind and go just as slow as they are.
Right.
But in front, you don't know what your car is going to do, if it's going to suddenly slide off the track or not, if you're going too quick. So yeah, Lewis was able to gobble him up.
Yeah, he sure was. And of course, Lewis knows this track pretty well. He's won it 8 times coming into this race. So, and you could just see that, how easily it was for him to get around, or George was really eking to get around some of those corners.
Yeah.
But then both the Mercedes went off the track at the same time. I didn't really see what happened. I guess they just both broke too late. And
Was it Maggots or Beckett's, I think? You know, the S's, they just went straight on. Yeah, they just didn't turn in. Had to cut in back across the grass. And I think they ended up cutting back in with Lando in between them.
Yep. Lando, like, just passed George, because I think they came out in front of them, but the McLarens had so much more speed that Lando was able to get right by George.
And of course, Lando gets right on the radio, complains that they rejoined unsafely or whatever. Like, my pet peeve that they're just complaining again.
Yeah.
What are they supposed to do?
Yeah, they got on just fine. I think they went to the escape road too and like went off on the other side of the ball, or like, shut up, dude.
Yeah, they had to cross the grass. So their tires definitely got wet, and, you know, they're going to lack grip for a few turns. So advantage McLaren's for sure.
Yeah. And there were a couple guys that had already come into pit to go on to enters. It was Charles, Checo, Ocon, and Joe were the four guys that had come in for the enters.
They all came in on lap 19, I think, enters. And Joe had already come in on lap 12 to switch from soft to medium. So this was his second pit stop. Ocon came in on lap 19 to go on to, he went on to inters as well, but it was too early, wasn't it? It wasn't raining enough. And again, this is classic Formula One strategy. If you're at the back, you know, try something, it might work. You've got nothing to lose, but
right,
must be so frustrating when you're Perez, or and especially Charles, when you're supposed to be fighting out for wins or podiums, and you try and maneuvers like this and hoping things come back to you.
But on the next lap, you could see that the Mercedes were really struggling in the rain, and just like Zach Brown said, the McLarens were not struggling at all. Lando was able to pass Lewis fairly easily and take the lead of the race, and Oscar pretty much essentially at the end of that lap was able to pass George. So it went from Mercedes-McLaren to McLaren-Mercedes-McLaren-Mercedes.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Russell must be gutted. He went from first to third in 2 laps.
Very disappointing for him. And those guys that did come in for the inters were, it was still raining a bit, but they had chewed up their tires so much, and the guys on the slicks ahead of them who had not come in were still lapping faster than the guys on slicks. I mean, they were getting close to being lapped really, really fast. But a few laps after that DRS, I guess it was turned off at that time, but it was already turned. It was turned back on lap 24. So yeah, it was just, they lost all that time being slow and in the pits, and it was just the races were done already at this point.
Yeah. And those inter tires were just getting chewed up. In fact, Ocon actually did come back in on lap 21 and put mediums back on again. He only did two laps on the inters, but the other guys, Joe Perez and Leclerc, stuck it out. But it was the wrong tire.
Yeah. I think it was on the next lap that Checo was getting lapped, just to proving how poor he has been recently. And then a few corners later, Charles was getting lapped. So not good. But on the next lap, lap 26, Oscar is in DRS range of Lando and they are free to race. And then the next lap, I guess the first guys from the front of the race to pit were Max and Carlos.
Now the second band of rain that was going to be longer and harder was really falling. So this is when the call was, when do you come in for inters? These guys were all now coming in for inters. So I think, Max, Carlos, Hülkenberg, and Stroll were the first ones to come in, like on lap 26, 27. Norris and Hamilton and Piastri stayed out.
Yeah, but they came in on the next lap, I believe.
Two of them.
But Oscar stayed out.
Norris and Hamilton came in on the next lap, and then Piastri went one more to lap 28.
Yeah, which was a huge mistake. And they were just talking about it on the radio with Zach, too. They were like, you could just stretch it out for a little bit and pit them both double stack.
I mean, Mercedes double stacked.
Yeah.
And their cars were far enough apart that I don't think Russell had to pause that much. He didn't lose that much time, maybe a second or so. McLaren definitely could have double stacked as well.
Absolutely.
They would have lost one or two seconds, but as it was, I mean, I don't know what the track was like, but it must have been so wet, because when Piastri came around, still on slicks, to come into the pits at the end of lap 28, Lando was right behind him.
Yeah.
Like he had stopped to his pit stop, put on inters, come on out, gone around the whole track and caught back up to Piastri again. So Piastri had basically lost an entire lap.
Yeah. It was awful.
It was just a complete disaster versus losing maximum 3 seconds double stacking if they'd done it right. So that destroyed Piastri's chances of winning the race there, seemingly.
Yeah. And a chance just to have two guys in the top
on the podium.
At least just to have that position to be able to fight with Mercedes, who's got two guys up there. It was just really bad.
So once everybody was on inters, it was Lando, Lewis, Max, George, who was the biggest loser because he was double stacked, so that he lost those seconds, but you're still out ahead of Carlos and of course Oscar.
And then Checo came in again for his second stop, or maybe second stop or third stop. Second stop, I think.
Yeah, all the guys that put on inters on 19 had to come in again on lap between 26 and 28 and put on new inters because their current inters that they'd done were wrecked.
Yeah, and we had just heard right before that the rain was ending in 15 minutes, so he was going to have to pit again.
It was a bit ridiculous, but they all had to put on it. They had to re-enter.
Yeah. And then we heard Lewis just a couple laps later saying how his tires were already getting eaten up from the track drying.
Yeah.
So then we get the situation, whoever is the first one to come in, that's not too early that they're going to lose a bunch of time or spin off the track, but get that undercut advantage with the slick tires again. And Lando's lead was growing to Lewis. It was almost 4 seconds ahead at lap 33. And then on the next lap, we hear out of nowhere, George has to come into pit and retire from the race.
Absolutely gutting.
I never heard an explanation as to what happened.
They said, water system issue. So losing water pressure, or I don't know what I don't know what water is on the car, to be honest. I think
other
I
thought the drinking water.
Right. I thought the cooling, I thought they were air cooled, but maybe there's water pressure for something. But yeah.
Weird.
But that was his problem. But yeah, enough that they got to retire the car. So no points for Russell. So he retired from
P4.
P4 at the time. But yeah, it was all to play for.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely still had a chance to win this race. And Lewis is starting to gain time back on Lewis all of a sudden. He gained 2 seconds out of nowhere. And then the cars start coming into, or we were wondering which ones were going to come into pit. You heard the McLaren engineer say on the radio that Mercedes only have new soft tires and hard tires, but McLaren's had a new set for all three. And it was presumed that the mediums were the best tire for this track, especially with the distance that they had left. And Lewis was just getting closer and closer. And I was thinking Lando must be coming into pit soon at this point. He does gain some more time back, but then Lewis and Max and Oscar pit on lap 39, but Lando stays out.
Yep.
I was shocked.
He does this a lot, Lando. He seems to like either make this delta, or he doesn't like to be the first one to react. He likes the overcut more than the undercut. I mean, this is what we saw in previous races where he tries to get a tire differential going, even though it's maybe to his detriment. But yeah.
Like on a fully dry track, I understand that. But when you're switching from dries to slicks.
From wet, like, you mean from inters to slicks.
Right, yeah.
You'd think that if slicks are good, you want to be on them immediately.
Right.
One extra lap is going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of racecraft. Maybe the McLarens need to work on there, but
yeah. But all three of those guys went on to different tire compounds. Lewis went on to soft tires, Max went on to hard tires, and Oscar went on to the medium tires. And he said, even over the radio, like, yeah, we want the mediums. They're the best tire.
Yeah, I mean, and if it means anything, Hamilton actually went onto used soft tires.
Oh, really?
Which is quite surprising, because there's still 14 laps to go. So that's sort of just at the edge of the soft tire window, of their usability.
Yeah, but Lando does come into pit on the next lap. It seems like it's kind of hurried a little bit, and they ask him, like, do you want to... It was weird how they phrased it. They asked him, do you want to go on soft tires to fight with Lewis, or on medium tires to fight with Max?
Right. It's almost like the way they phrased it was like, do you want to try and win or try and fight for second? So he's obviously going to say, oh yeah, put me on the same tire as Hamilton to go for the win. It seems the obvious answer, but yeah, it was the wrong decision.
Yeah.
The answer should have been neither. Yeah. Medium, please.
Yeah. They should have been like, the medium looks like the better tire. Do you want to put on the medium tire?
Yeah. Yeah. That was another misstep there.
Yeah. But like I said, it looked like it was like kind of late in the lap that they were making these decisions. And it seemed like the pit crew like just came out as Lando was getting there. And he ended up having a slow stop on top of doing this whole nother lap. It was a 4.5 second stop around there.
Yeah,
and he was able to come out just ahead of Lewis, but I mean, or no, no, Lewis was able to get ahead when he was coming out, and he had a 2 second lead over him by just a few corners out. I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
And Oscar, who had been on the medium tires, took the fastest lap the next lap.
Yeah, he got them. He got them up to temperature, and yeah, started to get them working.
Yeah, but this was a kind of crazy part of the race. So all of these guys are within reaching distance of DRS from the guy in front and behind them. They're all within like 2 or 3 seconds with what, like 12 laps left, 13 laps, laps yeah. left. So Oscar took the fastest lap there, and then Lando took the fastest lap on the next lap, but it was still looking like Max was gaining on him, and then Max took the fastest lap on the next lap, and it was looking like, you know, however this finishes, it's going to be pretty close. Lando took the fastest lap back, and then Max took it, and then Lando really started falling away from Lewis and losing those soft tires on lap 46.
He got like eight decent laps out of his soft tires, Lando, and then they just started to go away. And I think Hamilton also, his tires were he was also on soft, started to go his way as well, but he had a bit more of a buffer over the cars behind. But Max on his hard tires and Oscar on his mediums, they were still had plenty of life in them to keep pushing.
Yeah. And at this point it was like, all right, Lando's not going to win this. There's no chance of him winning this now. So I was just like, just hold up Max as long as you can to give Lewis as much of a buffer as he could. And then on lap 47, Max in DRS range of Lando and was able, I mean,
he went around the outside, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. But it didn't look very difficult. No. I mean,
yeah, Lando, I mean, when Lando overtook Max, Max let Lando go down the inside. Lando did the opposite. He defended the inside. So Max had to go around the outside, but it wasn't a problem. He had more grip, more performance, more speed, and just drove right around the outside of Lando.
Yeah.
And that was that.
Yeah.
Question then was, is there enough time for him to catch Lewis? He's 3 seconds behind with like 4 laps to go.
Yeah. Possible, but it would be very difficult. But Lewis was able to, you know, keep it really around. It was like a 2 second gap for most of that time. And it didn't really fluctuate until about the second to last lap. It started going down just a little bit at a time. But it looked like he had just enough of a buffer and he was doing just well enough to keep the tires fast enough that Max would not be able to catch him. But Carlos on lap 51, the second to last lap, comes into pit because he has a full pit stop free behind him to Nico.
Yeah.
And just to steal the fastest lap from Max. Yep. And I love that.
there's a point available. So,
yeah.
Go and get it. So yeah, he was the only one who really had the opportunity with the pit stop gap back to Hülkenberg. So yeah, and he put it in, but
yeah,
Hamilton brought it home.
He did.
I can't imagine the emotions that he was feeling in that car. It's been a long time since he won a race.
Yeah. Saudi Arabia 2021.
I guess that was the penultimate race of that season, when obviously after that he lost to Max, who ultimately took the title.
Yes, he did.
For the first time, and all he's done since then has seen Max rack up 20 plus wins or more. But you know, 103 wins for Lewis.
I think this was his 104th,
is it 104th win?
Yeah.
At the British Grand Prix. On a circuit that has a street named after him,
right?
You know, at his home race. I mean, the F1 gods, you know.
Yeah.
Charles winning Monaco wasn't enough. We're going to sprinkle in Sir Lewis at Silverstone as well.
His ninth win at the British Grand Prix at Silverstone, and making him the single winningest driver at a single circuit.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, what records doesn't he have, really, Lewis, you know, when it comes to longevity? I mean, you could hear it in his voice talking. You know, Bono was losing it a bit. Lewis was losing it a bit.
Lewis was losing it a lot. He was sobbing.
You saw him embrace his dad,
extended
embrace with his dad when he got out of the car. But everybody, you know, everybody liked that. And you could really hear the crowd as well through the whole race, actually.
Yeah.
You could hear the crowd with the maneuvers from the British drivers, everybody getting a ton of support. So,
I mean, he's never had a period of time that long ever in his whole junior career ever where he's gone over 2 years without a win. So
even at the start of his career in F1, he didn't have to wait that long to get his first win back in.
He won in his first season.
I was there actually for that one. I think that was Canada. Yeah,
that's right. 2008, 7 Canadian Grand Prix.
Yeah. Find me somebody that was upset with that. I'll tell you somebody that has no heart. I guess
there was one person who was rather upset about it.
What, George?
If you notice, no. Well, maybe George. You didn't see George, but if you saw Lando in the breakdown room, he was just pissed off. And Lewis was saying, like, he was like, why did you wait another lap to go out? And why didn't you go on to medium tires? And Lando just like, I know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this is, yeah. Poor old Lando. He's gone through a lot the last couple of races. He's had 2 potential race wins right there. And, you know, mistakes have cost him. You know, this time it was more on him. You know, you could put the blame on Max last week, but this one, you know, he just made a mistake. He put the wrong tire on at the wrong time, and yeah, the rest is history.
That's that. But yeah, what a crazy race. Obviously you got to put Lewis as a winner on the weekend.
Yeah, obviously. Max too, he gained ground in the he stretched his lead, in the overall championship. So a good weekend for Max.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the Astons both finished in the top 10. Stroll actually beat Alonso.
Yeah, when's the last time we've seen that?
But yeah, maybe they found something.
Yeah,
who knows.
Nico finishing P6 where he qualified.
Solid. Yeah.
Really, really good.
Who saw that coming?
Yeah. I picked him to be in the top 10. So
all right, okay. There you go. Pat yourself on the back.
Yeah, it didn't help me that much. Alex getting in the top 10. I mean, and Logan was just outside of the top 10, but didn't crash. And I think he finished P11. So literally.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess, yeah.
Well, not bad.
Could be a lot worse, yeah. There are people behind him that you wouldn't expect to be down there that completed the race, so. Yeah.
But then, obviously, losers, I hate to do it, but you got to put McLaren on there. It was just mistake after mistake after mistake.
Yeah, P3, P4, I mean, it's not terrible, but what could have been, right? Yeah. Yeah, hopefully they learn from those mistakes. But as you can see from Ferrari, you got to be confident. You got to move forward.
Yeah.
But Ferrari have been making these mistakes, it seems, for race after race.
Yeah.
And they're still making them.
But they still did well in the constructors. I mean, they've probably moved up in the constructors with the silver lining.
Yeah.
George, although it wasn't his fault, still with being on pole position and not finishing.
Disappointing. Yeah, he's the one guy that doesn't see the fairy tale of the British Grand Prix. You know, he was all in when it was the 3 British drivers, 1, 2, 3 before the race. But now, just a tough pill to swallow for George. But I don't know. Is it, I'm not saying karma, because he lucked into the win last week, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, he had to be third to get first. But,
sure. A distant third.
Yeah, and now a little bit of payback. Sorry, George.
Yeah.
That's the breaks.
Yeah, that's what we said about Lando last week, right?
Right.
When he got lucky with the win because of the safety car then karma coming back.
That's how it works. Not how it works, but that's how you can maybe sleep at night.
Sure. And then obviously Checo and Charles, just shocking results.
Disaster.
Yeah.
And the Alpines again, no, I mean, obviously Gasly didn't even race and Ocon couldn't get anything going. Poor race strategy, 4 pit stops. Yeah. Everybody that tried down the back to make things happen with pit stops and switching tires just got crushed.
Yeah. Yeah. Brutal. And then that brings us to Coop's F1.
Coop's F1. So obviously, you know, with George out and, you know, Leclerc down low, lower scores this week. Top score from Dan Mitchell, 245 points.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he had Lewis 1, Max 2, Norris 3. So, if you're right, you're right.
Yeah.
Van Hogen, 213 points. I made the front page of Coop's F1 this week, but in a bad way, dropping 30 places. I had an awful prediction.
Were you the person that dropped the most? Is that what that says?
That's right. Dropped 30 spots. But the top six overall, no movement at all. Everybody held station, including our own prancing to first and fourth. But R. Heatley maintains his lead of 100 points at the top. Our old friend Prediction Consensus, up one spot to 12th, so hanging around. Let's see, Nick up 8 points to 50.
Nice.
Almost
to the top 100. Almost there.
Yeah, you came up nine spots, and yeah, I just tumbled down to 133rd. So
brutal,
terrible. That's it. Now till. We got a little bit of a break, right?
Yeah, I'm not. When is the next race?
Two weeks till Hungary, I think.
Wow.
Hungary, Belgium, back to back, and then it's the summer break for.
Oh, nice.
The Netherlands at the end of August.
Hungary is kind of a interesting track, really tight track with
lots
of weird turns and weird elevation things going on, but
and then of course Belgium, the longest circuit on the calendar, only 40 some laps for the full race, so you don't tend to get much pit stop strategy going on there. You're just trying to get the cars around. But
he has to give up the corner. I had to bounce ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2024 British Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time for our review of the 2024 Hungarian Grand Prix. See you then.